You know, that meta sure is shifty. This is Core.
Hey everyone, Scott Johnson here. This is Core, Bo Schwartz, John Jagger, and myself. And, you know, we have bands now. They exist, and I should say they only exist in Hero League, which is where we've all been asking for it. We've also been asking for some sort of ban in Quick Match, but I think Bo's made it clear in the past why he thinks that's never going to happen. And I think I agree with him. However, I understand people's desire for it. But now that we have bans, and that seemed like a top priority for so long. That seemed like the thing that we were waiting, or one of the things anyway, that we were waiting for Blizzard to cough up for this game. What's the top priority now? Like, what do you want, Bo? What's next? What should be on the drawing board, as the old phrase says, goes?
Like for new features?
Yeah.
So always want new heroes and new maps, but you know, they're coming. I think what's next is, it's hard to really put my finger on it, but There is more that the game can grow to be. And there, so we're looking at, you know, more map editing tools, more event style things. I think the Lost Cavern really showed us that a map can be released and not necessarily be a main event. Can I have one of those chips?
I was trying to move stuff. I thought I muted. I just clicked was all that I did.
It was good chips.
Yeah, that was all right. It was like you're passing Doritos around or something.
John's like, okay, Bo's he's going to talk about this.
Yeah, he's
going to
talk about the map editor. It's chip time. Chip time, everybody.
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure what I think we really need next. This patch has been so an embarrassment of riches. I find like right now I'm very sated and I'm not thinking about this game's mission super bands or something. It's just my mind's blank. John, do you have something right
yeah,
now?
What that do you think?
We're missing?
What are we missing? What's the next priority besides don't bring up Artanis again, but what else?
I think it's got to be, for me, it's Arena. I thought I was going to say MMR reset, but I've had so much fun with Lost Caverns that I am now dying for a mode that is just get in real fast, have fun. Who cares about MMR? Who cares about anything else? Don't try hard, just have fun. I really want a mode like that. And I think that's now number one on my must have features list.
And thereby that should be their number one in your mind. That should be the thing they're working on. As far as, you know, what's the core of the team getting together every day at the meeting table going, all right, Dustin Browder, what do you want us working on? You want that to be Arena.
Yeah, I think for me, that's okay. What it is.
All right.
So I thought about it because what John said really helped jog my memory here. We need season one of Ranked. We need a better rank. Like, forget the MMR conversation. Don't want to have it. It's very boring. But we need a better, cooler rank system that's more specific to heroes. And I think that's already something they've talked about. So that's what I want to see next. Mm. And maybe some more robustness we talked about last week around the clans and around sort of organizing tournaments in game. Because again, Hero Pants 2, it's happening sometime soon. It would be so much easier to organize this if the tools were available in game for me to set up my own tournament or leagues inside Heroes.
Totally,
I want that.
I totally agree. That would be great.
Those are my two things.
Well, you're basically describing, it's funny because we're all kind of describing the same general effort, which is more tools to do different things for players. In a way, Arena is that. Arena is a way to just go sort of get in. Lost Caverns is, or Lost, the Lost Cavern rather, is that. I mean, that's what it is. It's like a, hey, quick, weird custom thing with your friends or strangers. Off you go. Have some fun. It's like a step in the direction of a map editor. It's the step in the direction of tools that allow us to do more with custom games. I think if I'm looking at what both of you said, though, I think I'm going to land on the side of more tools to create our own tournaments. And again, it is totally selfish because we have reasons for this that would benefit us directly and quickly. But I would love to be able to just say, all right, Heroes of the Pants 2, next week, get your teams together. Bam, boom, here it is. The structure's done. The brackets are done. It's all in the game. You know, we can have six observers, like whatever. It's all just done. That well, would
plus
be
plus we
great.
Know how much you hate saying challenge.
Challenge. I can't. I don't want to say challenge anymore. I really don't. It really is. It's just, you know.
It's not just that, but challenge is one tool. Then we need a communication tool outside to get people information to people, whether it's email distribution or a Slack channel. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like little moving parts just to have like a, hey, show up on Saturday and play games. So I'd love to see, you know, I like watching the competitive stuff and I'd like to participate in that in a more local level with friends and buddies and community members.
I feel like if the tools were robust enough, we would do stuff almost every week. We'd have some kind of competition all the time.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that would really drive us. It wouldn't give us XP and wouldn't give us MMR and all the other reasons that you do it in the public games, but it would, you know, from a hey, it's 2016 and everyone streams this shit perspective, it would be a pretty good boon to the game.
Yeah, and it's like it's not the only game that needs it too in the Blizzard stable. I think Heroes or Hearthstone could really use it, and eventually people are going to want that kind of stuff for Overwatch. Yep. It's just a real pain to develop. You know, a lot of people put a lot of work into those more casual leagues like Chair League and stuff like that. The people who organize that stuff spend a lot of their free time making that stuff happen, whether it's casting or developing the sites or tools to help support it outside the game. And I really think, you know, Blizzard should do what it can to make it even easier, because I think even easier means more participants and more focus on the stuff that matters that promotes Heroes, like the streaming and the, you know,
sure.
content.
John, do you worry that your desire for Arena or more experiences like Lost Cavern, where it's a little bit, you know, you just throw your ideas of what it means to try hard and just get in and have some fun and play? There's some players that worry about that because they think it takes away from the core of the game, and therefore, you know, what makes the competitive scene of Heroes interesting. And are we still not worried that it will compete with that or take away from that, rather?
I think there's a part of me that's definitely worried. I mean, anytime that you divide a queue up, even if it's just by a small margin, that's still a group of players that are no longer in a quick match or Hero League queue. And if it ends up being wildly popular, then, you know, you could look at a substantial number of people that are now not playing the main game mode proper. But my hope would be, and the reason why I feel, you know, confident saying, hey, they should really push for this and make this a priority, is that to me, what that would tell me on the development side is we need to find a way to make our core experience just as fun and rewarding and rise to the challenge of making people want to do that just as much. Because I think you need to look at, let's say Arena comes out and is wildly popular. I think you need to look at that and say, okay, why is that wildly popular and how can we take that lesson and apply it to the game that we want to make?
Yeah. I have a conspiracy theory. I know you like those.
I do.
And here it is. Well, here's the sound for it. Oh, no, that's when we're distracted talking about something else. Yeah, it doesn't matter. How about this one?
There are no strings on me.
I don't know why I played that one. All right.
Wow.
Here's my conspiracy theory that Lost Cavern, and by extension, assuming they're working on it, they don't talk about it much now, but assuming Arena is being worked on, I think they may be doing that very thing. Like, Lost Cavern was an opportunity for them to say, let's just see what they do with this. Like, what do players do? If at the end of all of this, players prefer just to go at it and fight, maybe we're this is all very hypothetical, okay? But maybe they're just thinking to themselves, maybe we're approaching this wrong. Maybe we don't need to jam all of these supposed built-in MOBA constructs that everyone thinks we have to have. Towers and the way laning works and the way minions work and, you know, some of the core things about these games. Maybe we don't need those as much as we thought. Maybe players just want to brawl. Maybe we've built an amazing fighting game where people can just get at it. Now, I can almost hear Bo thinking to himself, well, I don't want that. I want to have the core game too. And I'm with you. For some reason, I feel that more from you than anybody.
I'd have my criticism of it, but I agree with you mostly.
Do you see what I mean? Like, this gives them a chance. Even if that's not their intent, their opportunity here is at the end of all of this, they will have some data. And that data will say what people are doing. Now, because it's not a public game mode, it takes a little bit more planning. Like, well, all right, I need to make a custom game, and then I got to invite a bunch of people and do a link. And, you know, it's a different process. But if they have a ton of people playing it and it becomes a much more popular thing than they thought, and they mitigate that data by knowing that it's not just a normal quick play mode, which, you know, should tell them whether or not people really gravitated to it or not. Maybe they have to have that coming to Jesus moment where they're like, oh, well, maybe we need to rethink the way this works. And maybe they just slowly start tweaking heroes and tweaking maps and tweaking things to be a little bit more in line with get in and get brawling and not all the lead up and the laning and the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I want this even. I just feel like maybe that's an experiment.
I think it's good to experiment. So I'm with you there. And I think they should throw things out like that, especially again, to cater to people that are more community oriented. So play games with friends and want to do fun game modes like we've experimented with. Mm-hmm. But the counter to all of this is that I think what you're going to see in media is the competitive style of game. So the competitive maps and the ranked mode. And I think I would want to balance my time between 80% competitive style play and 20% fun style play. Like, I would never want to balance my hero's time that I would play what I would define, and it doesn't meant to be pejorative, as the casual modes, much less than the experience I want. That's not to say there aren't individuals out there who would definitely enjoy the fun arena modes more often and the community modes like Lost Caverns and things like that. But I think they have to look where their bread is buttered. So if they introduce these new weird things, but still find it's people play it for a few days when it comes out, or just sporadically when people can get together, so it's like 20% of the games or 10% of the games, then that's not the primary draw for the game. So they're not going to focus as much development time on it, is my theory, once they've experimented with it.
Yeah, they're never going to flesh that out to be a bigger part than the other game because, yeah. A, that doesn't serve them very well, but also putting all that resource there means they're not in the core game, so the result is the same. And it's the reason I keep coming to it, or I keep having this in my head, I think, is it's like this. When I have to create a comic, I will sometimes bang my head against the wall and have writer's block and struggle against complicated ideas that I'm trying to present in simple ways, and drives me crazy. And if I force that, I end up with a far more complicated, less funny, but okay comic, right? But if I just kind of go, let's brain fart whatever comes out first. Let's whip it out. Boom, bam, here it is. And sometimes those end up being the best things I've done. And I'm not saying that this is exactly analogous to what Blizzard is doing with this or any other game by any means. But I think that's why it's in my head. Because why else would they experiment like this? You know, like, why else would they be dinking around? Will it all be in service of the core MOBA experience? Or will it have a role in refining the MOBA experience into something a little more distilled to what Blizzard really wants to make? I don't know. It's a weird... All I'm saying is MOBAs are weird. It's a really weird competitive space. And I think as much as Blizzard would like to be... had the forethought to be Riot and just take the game that was built in their own backyard and expand on it then and own that entire, you know, multi-million player base thing, they had to do it this kind of third place way. And I think sometimes, I don't know, I could be totally wrong, but I think they're probably internally going, oh, can we just try this? Can we try this? Let's just see what people do with it. Well, okay, we'll let this one map go and we'll see what happens. I could be totally wrong about all of this. This could be the ramblings of a madman.
I think you're spot on. Yeah. I think that even if their reason was just, people keep asking for ARAM, can we just give them something? I made this on my free time. Can we just give it to them? Okay, sure. I think that doesn't mean, well, let's stick our fingers in our ears and pretend that we don't notice what happens with it now that it's out there. Mm-hmm. I am very curious to see what happens with it, on how it affects the game, and also just how it affects that mode. Like, what if, a patch or two from now, they say, okay, we've added a new drop down. When you select Lost Caverns, you can now force ARAM for hero selection. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to bother with trying to convince everybody in there to select random. If they start making modifications and alterations to it on that front, I think that's a good indicator that this feature is proving very popular.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. I like what they're doing with it. That is a super fun mode. and I've talked enough about it. All right, how about this? This weekend, I don't know what y'all are planning at home. If you just be sitting around, you can do a little yard work. Going to go out and prune the hedges and trim the trees. I don't know what you do. That's something like that, right? All heroes and bonus XP this weekend. So in honor of Heroes of the Dorm, all heroes will be playable. I mean, not the normal. What is it normal? The rotation. Is it 10 heroes? What's the normal rotation? I forget.
I think it's 10.
Is it 10?
I'm not sure. I haven't ever played a free hero.
You haven't. I was going to say you haven't been. You've never been that customer.
I've got to take them all out to dinner before they play with me. I don't know what that means. But
so every hero you've never played, every hero you have played, all heroes of all types, this weekend only, 100% available to play, free to play, and you'll also earn bonus XP. I'm very curious about what my behavior will be come Friday. Will I
play murky?
Should I? Okay. All right. You guys got to play with me, so I'm terrified of that little shit, that little piece of crap.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun.
All right,
you're gonna have so much fun. All right. Who else haven't you played that you're curious about? You know, that you're looking at from across the room and they're looking back at you. Who's that hero?
Abathur, probably.
Oh, nice.
I want to try Lost Vikings. Just try them. I'm not saying I'm. I don't know. Maybe I'd be all surprised. Right. Maybe I'd walk away going, "Oh my gosh, Lost Vikings are amazing." Maybe not though. whatever. I'm trying to think of some others. Those are probably the two big ones. Because I think I own everything else, to be honest.
We should do that this weekend.
I don't think I've ever seen you play Nova.
Oh, I have. So I own Nova, but you're right. I don't think I've played with you guys ever. She's another one that I don't know what it is. It just doesn't appeal to me. It never has. But maybe I'd have fun with it.
We should do that. We should all, I mean, Bo's played everybody, but we should all play heroes we're not necessarily super familiar with at times and mm-hmm. have a good opportunity to try new things. And I mean, I had to play Vikings not too long ago, so yeah. I already scratched that little itch, but maybe scratch it again and we'll see what happens and have a good time.
Zeratul is also, I own him, but I haven't played him. So I don't know why. I like him as a character. I like his whole lore thing. I think I don't like stealthy, sneaky characters. That's never been my bag in any games of any kind. I don't like it in WoW. I don't like it in...
You confront your problems head on in video games and in life. Yeah. You're just like, listen, come at me, bro. You want to troll me? Let's have a conversation.
Unless your game is like straight up a stealth game, like if it's Thief or it's Assassin's Creed or it's something where you're trying to stealth kill, that's different when the mechanics are set around it. But when you're like in the mix and you just happen to be like somebody today was saying, when are we going to get a stealth character in Overwatch? And I said, oh, you know what? For that, I had to play this. Hold on with that. Sorry, this. Why? Because there or no, they would say, why isn't there one yet? And my answer is they're not going to do one. At least I hope they don't, because here's why. There are already characters who are major infiltrators who jump way ahead of the action and can get backline and do all this crazy stuff that you would normally design a stealth hero to do. But instead, you don't have to have some invisible shimmer all the time you're looking for. I don't want that in my shooters. I'm fine with it in heroes. As an opponent, I'm fine with it in a lot of games where it makes sense, but I think it sucks in shooters. So just so the world's listening, please know, and Blizzard, please know stealth characters in Overwatch. I don't know how that's ever fun is what I'm getting at.
I agree, though. There is one. His name's Reaper. He's amazing.
Well, but he's not stealth, though. He's just... He'll teleport back there. You didn't see him get in. Like, that makes... What I'm saying is they're smartly designing characters to do what stealth characters traditionally are designed to do, but that's just the easy way out.
Yeah.
Reaper's the hard way in, and it works. Like, that's the harder design job, to make Reaper work, to make Tracer work, to make Genji work, than it is to just say, this guy can be invisible for some time. You know?
Yeah,
I really appreciate that design aesthetic that they're going for there, and I hope they never have one. But anyway, that so we're done with that. But that brings me to my point about heroes. I just don't like stealth characters in the game. Playing them, I don't mind that they're in it. Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I get really pissed at Nova, but I don't know. I'm fine with them existing. I just don't want to play them very often. Yeah, but we'll
stealth
see.
Stealth really does change the way the game is, especially depending on skill level. You know, it's. If you can't spot the shimmers, it's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. Once you start to learn to spot the shimmers, it's less frustrating, but it can just feel like you're getting killed out of nowhere. So I'm with you there.
Are they,
I think it's Not great.
Are the is the XP this weekend? Do we know what the bonus is? Is it just the standard
50%?
Okay.
All right. That's... So if you've got a stim pack, then you get what 100% bonus to your XP, and then another 50% on the base XP.
And then playing with friends, you get a bonus.
Yeah, so like 300%, or is it 200%?
200%.
Yeah, that's almost as much bonus experience, or it is as much as if you unlocked your camera.
It is
200%, folks. Unlock your camera. You are 200% more skilled. That's.
I don't know, man.
That's a cornerstone piece of information.
Oh my gosh, I don't like anything that's happening right now. Did you especially see, the forced requirement of unlocking your camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just having a bit of fun.
You just spelled corner C-O-R-E-N-E-R, didn't you? You put an E in the middle of it. I like that. Yeah. That was pretty good.
I just immediately pictured somebody that like shucks corn for a living.
Yeah, those guys are great. Don't like ever, a shucker really is what they're called. I don't know what they're called. Loot boxes may be coming to the Nexus, at least maybe. Dustin Browder's much-loved Abathur-esque tweets sometimes cause a little confusion. So this was originally perceived initially as an April Fool's joke. People thought he was kidding around. I hate that day. No one knows that. But you know the problem with that day is Blizzard, freaking ThinkGeek, and a few others understand the difference between a lie and a joke, and I'm glad they exist, but most people don't, and I hate that. Like, telling me that some guy in Florida set himself on fire is not a joke. It's a story that was not true. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hate it. Anyway, this isn't about me. This is about boxes. Everyone thought it was a joke about loot boxes coming to the Nexus, and now it's turned into a possibility. Quote, we are talking about other ways to reward players. Loot boxes are not coming in the next few months. This is according to Dustin Browder. So it's not really a no, is it?
I mean, no. It's not a no. It's not a yes.
Yeah, it's not a really anything. It's kind of a yes. It's not coming in the next few months, but maybe.
But is he saying it in that they've only planned out the next few months and it's not falling in it, or is he saying it in that? Look, not in the next few months, but expect it after that.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I think I'm going that route.
I hope so. I love loot
boxes. I do too. What do you think about that, Bo? Like something to open every time you level or do whatever you do. It worked different than Overwatch, obviously.
The compulsive dopamine seeking part of my brain says yes, and the cynical, crotchety old man side of my brain says no. So I don't know. Blizzard, just do what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I like stuff. There's a lot of great stuff in the game. If I get them for leveling up characters, I guess yes, because my total player level is like 502. So if you're getting a loot box per level, then please give me 500 loot boxes. I'll be very happy with that.
Yeah. That's a good point, is when would they give them to you? That's a real sticking point. I don't know. But the idea of a loot box, even if it was just like a random chance at the end of a match or at the end of a win, let's say, the idea of opening that and the useful items in this game being skins and gold or a stim pack occasionally or something, 7-day stim pack falling out of there, that's very compelling to me.
I think they need new items and new things they can give you if they're going to do loot boxes, which it sounds like they're talking about. We're talking about other ways to reward players. That's sounds good to me. I would love to see a system where maybe like, hey, winning team is going to get 2 to 3 loot boxes randomly distributed from to people on your team. Losing team maybe going to get one.
Yeah.
As kind of a, hey, you should try no matter what. And then you open it and it's got all sorts of cool stuff. I mean, I love the loot boxes in Overwatch. So I just, that whole system I'm cool with, you know, something to where I can walk away from a match sometimes that was maybe a loss and be like, yeah, but I got this sick spray.
Yeah. I will say to be the counterpoint that, I don't love loot boxes in Overwatch.
Really?
I love all the skins.
Yeah.
But I almost prefer the hero style of being able to just buy what I want. Like, I don't like that. I find it affects how I play Overwatch, which is like, I'm going to keep playing because I want a loot box, where I want to keep playing because the game's fun. And that's sort of what I have in Heroes. All the goals are so long to get to in Heroes that I'm never like, oh man, if I just play a couple more games, I'm going to get this thing. Like, I feel like that's very, I mean, Overwatch is a good game. I'm not saying it's not, but I don't like what it does to the game, and I prefer the heroes approach better. Mm. So I'm like, I don't really feel like it's particularly lacking in that regard. I feel like if we get loot boxes, I feel like it's like a random skin box like that you buy for cheaper, but maybe you get a legendary, maybe you get something else, and you can buy it as a gift for people. I'm thinking about that in that context. Maybe as a there's a random quest you get once a month, and if you complete it, you'll get a random skin as a gift. I like those ideas for loot boxes, but I don't want the whole here's a new line for your character, or here's sprays and here's the storm. That would be something I would not look forward to.
Maybe it's UIs, or maybe it's a, I don't know. The variety of things may help your problems with it, because I kind of agree at this stage. There's not I don't want like a constant level grindy expectation for a box. But I wouldn't mind occasionally like, oh, there's extra gold or there's a mount or there's a whatever.
Yeah, but I also don't, I don't know. I'd rather just buy the things, I think. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's well, just not
my preference. In Overwatch, you get to do that too, though, for the, you know, just for the record. You can earn the in-game credits and then spend that gold on those skins and stuff. So there's a way to do it. I agree the balance isn't exactly right, though.
But in like in Overwatch, it's like, oh, great, I got the May skin. I don't want it. Like, I get so many legendary skins in that game I don't want. I just don't want them. Yeah. Like, it's the one I want is this one, and I'll never get it randomly, and it takes a really long time. Or I imagine you'll pay money for the loot boxes in Overwatch at some point.
Yeah,
I don't want it to be. It's too much like Hearthstone, where it's like, oh, I really want this legendary card. That's the way TCGs work, and I kind of don't want that in my shooters or my MOBAs.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but it also sounds kind of like you're saying, I don't want this, and the exact opposite of that, I also don't want that. Like, I just want to be able to buy it, but if they charge me for it, I don't want to buy it.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I don't like the random nature of it. Like, I don't like, unless it's... I don't know. I don't love it. That's all. Like I said, it affects the way that you play the game, because now a level is. I like that a level in Heroes is benign. Like, I'm not one of those players that I'm like, I need a reason to keep leveling Kael'thas or else I won't play him. I'm like, I'm just going to play him if that's what I want to play for the match. So I'm not a. Like, that's what I kind of enjoy about Heroes, as opposed to, you know, that Overwatch feeling of like, oh, I want this skin and I want that skin. I dig it, but I don't like it. Does affect the way I approach the game and I like what heroes I'm going to pick and what skins I want to wear. I'm concerned.
I totally get that, because I agree, because I'm the same way, where it's like you hit that weird like doldrum area in Overwatch where it's like, you know, you should probably stop, but it's kind of close enough to keep going and get it. But it's also going to be a big time commitment to do it. Right. Like, I hate that. I really don't like that. That's why, like, to me, when I'm seeing this, and what I would say I would want is to where it is a random chance after matches. Like, it's not something you get by filling up an experience bar. It's something that just happens as a part of playing the game.
Yeah. Like, think about all the heroes that you play less now because you got them to level 10. Like, this is a common phenomenon. I've heard like Shmerk Shmash Mashbok likes to do that. He's like, well, I got this character 10. I'm going to stop playing him now. Play this other guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't you just play what you feel like? Maybe you feel like playing that character and that's okay. But it does shape your decisions when part of your brain power goes to, well, he's at level 10 and this is at level 3. So I'm going to play a level 3 guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of like, why don't you just play what you shouldn't? And this is personal life choices, but you should just play the character you want.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I would much rather, like the other night, I had quests for everything different and I could have played whatever. And I really felt like playing Vala. And I did well with her that night. I did. Yeah. I had some really, well, we had some weird games, but my damage was good. And like, I had a really good time with her, and she's 14 or something. Like, she's way over leveled for, you know, on average. But I still enjoy her. I like to dust her off and play her, and I had other quests to do. Like, I am always driven by what's the funnest thing to do right this minute in Heroes specifically. But I do find myself in Overwatch going, ooh, I'm like 10 XP away from this next loot box. I guess I'm not logging off yet.
But you can feel like if you're playing Vala, because it happens to me, like, oh, I'm playing my level 18 character, but I could be playing a low level character. Like, you do have a feeling. There is a feeling you have there of like, I'm losing value because maybe I'm not earning XP on another character or something. Like, I won't be getting the gold for it or what. I should play those low level characters.
Well, that's me. That's how I play. I absolutely that. But to kind of go with what you're saying, I get that, and I love playing Diablo, and you guys have heard me play Diablo, and I'm a very happy man when I do it.
Yeah.
But that said, one of the things that makes me very happy in this game is getting to new levels and unlocking new things and gaining access to new stuff. Like, that's a part of the game that is fun to me. So if they can give me a reason to have the whole unlocking and earning stuff, but now by playing what I would rather be playing, that's like a double win for me, because now I can play actually what I want, but still get the fun of feeling like I'm making progression towards something.
If you haven't played Johanna in a while, it'd be nice to dust her off and play her, because you feel as driven with her as you do somebody else for whatever mechanical reason, whatever unlock, whatever. Because right now, anything after 10 feels like 9 years. And then when you do get there, it's just a level.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that these are bad and that you're somehow it's a mistake what you're just like. I think this is all perfectly legit and normal. What I'm saying is these things do have an impact on us as players. And I bring up the Overwatch example because I find it's I don't like it. I don't like the randomness of it. At the very least, in Heroes, you're earning specific rewards. It's not a random reward. I like the way Heroes handles it as is, and I'm cool with getting prizes and free stuff. Love the free stuff. I just don't want the Hearthstoneification of Heroes that I sort of see happening in Overwatch. That I personally am not a fan of.
Well, earlier you said the phrase "random skin box." And I don't know how you knew this, but that was my stripper name in the 90s. That was my name.
Yeah. The clients never knew what they were going to get.
No, they never knew. It was random. Ooh, skin box.
Random skin leathery box. Skin. Was it going to be creamy, smooth skin?
Random skin spot on the mainstay skin spot.
Like 7-day-old beef jerky.
Oh, gosh. All right.
It's just a piece of skin with a face on it.
That's right.
Hello, boys.
Hello, lady. Yeah, kill me.
We have different visions as to what's happening.
Yeah, yours is happy and singing. Mine's just like, I'm a skin box. Kill me.
Let's see. Let's talk about the AMA. This is they had an AMA. Did you guys know that? Ask Me Anything. And they, of course, you know that. That's in the notes. It happened. Here's some highlights. Artanis having a weaker baseline zealot charge. So John predicted the future successfully, and it's coming. So it's getting baked in, dude. You excited?
Oh, life is so good. It's going to be weaker, but that's okay. He's not going to have to feel completely left out of the dodgeball game when the kids run off to play somewhere else. Like, he will be able to kind of keep up a little bit.
Yeah, and they even said the community, they admitted the community views Artanis as a bruiser like Sonya, but the dev team envisions him as a weaker bruiser with strong resilience to trade in for as long as he is attacking. In other words, they don't see him as just a straight up, like, you know, send him in, do a bunch of damage, send him out. The way you do with Sonya and other characters. That's kind of interesting. I note that they didn't say, well, we see him as a very sustainable tank with all sorts of peel and damage taking so that everyone will survive because he's a main tank. They don't talk about him in those terms either. So for whatever that's worth, I don't know why that matters.
I like his tank build, though. So I'm really good with this because this allows me to take the tanky talents that I do enjoy, but usually forego, to try and buff up his damage or his ability to close on people. And it's just gonna open him up in a really, really nice way for the way I want to play him.
Arthas and Anubarak are both being looked at. Anubarak specifically going more anti-mage. We don't know what that is in specifics, but I kind of suspected we'd start to see some of the tanks or other characters having their abilities tweaked a little bit or their talents tweaked a little bit to counter the kind of heavy mage meta that's going on right now. Bo, do you see that? That seems like a normal move. Anubarak aside, like, some hero is going to get better at taking down Li Ming and others.
Yeah, I just think what they need to do, what they're thinking about is, you can't make every character the most powerful character in a 5-slot. You know, you have 5 slots if you're getting a ranged DPS, and you have 10 ranged DPSs in your hero pool. Like, one of them's going to be better. But what if they're not all better, but counter different things or have different strategic implications? So I think that they're not going to say, we're just going to bring Anubarak's numbers up because people don't pick him. I think they're going to say, well, he's a specific pick for a specific set of circumstances.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Arthas 2, I guess, right? Because he's not getting picked.
Yeah, we're not sure what exactly he's going to be. He's just in for a rework, and everyone, I think, rejoices.
It's probably good. He's so early. He was such an early character. He feels like he's, you know.
He needs to trade his chainmail pajamas in, too, for something a little more formidable.
And he's friggin' Arthas. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, that's my definition. Like, why should we buff Arthas? Because he's Arthas. Yeah. You know, like, he's the character that when they say you're going to be able to play as any Blizzard character, most people immediately think, oh, I'm going to play Arthas. He's the Lich King. Like, he's one of their most iconic characters, if not the most iconic character. And having him be a character that is never picked, it feels like something went real wrong.
It's sad. I don't like it. When people are picking a cow with a guitar over him, think about what that is. That's not even a cool character. That's just some dumb side note from BlizzCon. Like, it's not even a... I mean, I like ETC, don't get me wrong, but it's not like... It's not the same. He doesn't have the gravitas of a Arthas. I agree with you 100%.
There's no expansion named after ETC. Like, no. The ETC King, or Heavy Metal, baby. World of Warcraft.
Actually,
Heavy Metal.
I kind of have a similar problem with Illidan, because he's such a spaz, and the way he's just running around and popping everybody in the head and moving out and moving in, and something about him makes him feel like less of a boss and less of a titular character and more of an annoying bug. and I'm not saying he's not viable or good or anything like that, but I'm just saying if they're trying to adhere to the fantasy of these characters, a few of these massive, you know, footprint characters in the World of Warcraft specifically are just, they just can't do it here as much, you know, because they can't. How can they? People will start picking Murky over him. What's a freaking Murloc with a bubble and a neck?
I mean, he's amazing.
Well, he is, but should he be more amazing than Arthas? Like, I don't know how they ever accomplish that. Otherwise, then you're going to make it so only people pick Arthas. So I know it's a challenge, and we probably just have to park our lore heads at the door and just live with it, but.
Hold on. What if you dressed Murky up like the Lich King?
Oh, my Lord. Maybe that would work. I wonder how skin sales for Arthas are going with that new skin, the Crimson vampire skin thing, whatever it is.
It's a real business, that skin.
It's cool.
I've seen one since it launched.
That's my whole point. Games. I've seen so many skins for so many characters when they launched. That one I've seen once, maybe once. I don't even remember if that was for sure it.
But he's also the only Arthas I saw, so maybe 100% of Arthases have him.
They're just all waiting for the rework. So anyway, it looks like both of those guys are getting looked at, and that's probably good. And they're also, you know, ironically, Anubarak and Arthas are, you know, two kids holding hands running up a hill together, basically, in the story. I mean, isn't Anubarak basically does the bidding of Arthas, as I recollect?
Yeah.
Wasn't that all tied together? What was the deal?
Yeah, They struck a bond and a deal.
There was a
Although
deal.
Anubarak's video is very anti-Arthas, interestingly enough.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, that's interesting. I remember fighting him in TOC?
Yeah, he was in the raid for a Tournament of Champions or Trial of the Crusader.
Or whatever it was. TOC said Tickling of the Crouton? I don't know what it is. Yep.
That's the one.
You got it.
The best dungeon in the whole game.
You know, Tickling of the Crouton. All right, what else we got here? Kerrigan trending downwards in popularity. I have not seen her at all lately either. And again, one of the great characters, giant wings that don't really fly, and you know, she's made out of like Zerg parts now. And what a cool, like, historically speaking, in the StarCraft lore, she's huge, but nobody's playing her. And I don't know
why. I love Kerrigan.
I know you do, and you don't even like assassins very much.
No, but I like her.
Huh. What do you think's wrong, though? Why aren't people playing her? Why aren't you playing her?
I think she is a victim of power creep to some degree. There's a lot of characters in the game that do what she does with less risk and more skill. So in my eyes, Kerrigan is just the, you know, why bring Kerrigan when you could bring Greymane sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You get more utility out of Greymane than you do Kerrigan. Mm-hmm. So I think until she can be, in fact, their play style is very similar, because Kerrigan is very much a leap in and just destroy the enemy. Well, that's exactly what Greymane does. The only difference between the two is Greymane can do poke from a distance, which is super useful. And Kerrigan can be slightly sustainable once she's in there, whereas Greymane just gets exploded. Mm-hmm. But her sustain, I don't think, is better than his ranged.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and the other melee assassin analogs have their own advantages that she doesn't have, but right. like Thrall and Butcher and Zeratul, like they all have these control the battlefield elements that she just doesn't have. Mm. Like she's strictly damaged besides her stun. She's very much a single target DPS kind of character. And I guess people just don't, you know, just don't see her. I think she's tougher, more high risk, high reward. If you whiff everything, you're sort of done. So I guess the preferences are going to the more meta picks.
Sure. The dev team says here is interested in creating more questing talents. I wanted to touch on this for a second. Some people don't like these. It's gathering essence. It's gathering blood for Butcher. It's who else does this? It's mostly gathering.
Yeah. Well, the new ones, if you've played like it's you have to collect 25 health globes or, you know, on Dahaka, you have to collect 50 essence like 15 times to get your move speed increased. Tychus has them now where you have to get a certain amount of kills or something like that. I can't remember all of them, but like there's this idea that you just don't get the talent, that you have to build your way into it. And it's kind of a sneaky way to put in individual XP gains. You know how this MOBA differentiates itself from having the team experience?
Yeah.
Well, now here's a vector along which like a bad Tychus will be late in getting his, you know, whatever, let's say his regen globes for his move speed, where the good Tychus will have them like 5 minutes in or something like that.
Right.
Right? Like this is sort of a way for you to level individually without it being player levels, if that makes sense.
It does totally. I hadn't even thought of it that way, but I think you're right. I kind of am annoyed by it all. And the reason I think I'm annoyed by it is it feels like go get me 5 rat pelts and bring them back. I don't like that kind of questing. Like when you say questing, I want something meaningful and different. And this is just they're all collecting. I'm like, yeah, none
that's
of this
the
is...
MOBA questing. Like the MOBA questing from other games is literally get last hits on things so you get more gold so you can buy the better equipment.
Right.
Well, except it's not last hitting here. It's doing, like you said, get 5 rat pelts or do this weird challenging thing. Like it's the worst on the mana the arcane barrier for Kael'thas. Getting those 25 globes. Sometimes you're level 20 and you're like, crap, I've only got 10 globes. Like it's like a non-talent. it's real, like it's real weird. So it does change the way you have to play them. And I kind of like it, to be honest, but I guess because I'm appreciative of the challenge of it, I suppose. Some of them are better than others, obviously. Globes is not the funnest thing in the world, but like Flame Strike, you just have to hit enemy heroes. And if you hit enemy heroes with your Flame Strike, I guess, what is it? Damage by 5 up to 100. My math is bad here. Like, I guess 20 times. So you have to hit 20 heroes with your Flame Strike. If you max it out, you get bonus damage, and it's permanent. But if you die, you lose all your stacks and got to start over again.
Ooh.
Well, kind of hard.
But once like, that happens, once you hit 20 or whatever it is, you keep
like
it.
You get bonus damage, and it's permanent. So when you die, you don't lose it.
Okay. All right.
So it's like gathering power, except if you max out gathering power and you die, then you don't lose the max stacks of gathering
power. It just feels like this extra layer of pressure now. I don't know why I'm seeing it that way. I don't want to be negative about it, but I see
it. Well, the good news is, I suppose, is that because not all the level one talents are like that, maybe you don't have to take it.
That's a good point.
Which is, yeah, I think this is an experiment. I think they're looking at doing more of them, though, but I don't know. It's real interesting. It's a weird way to sneak in individual skill into a game that has team experience.
Yeah. So. John, what's your take on it? How do you feel about it?
I haven't really played too many characters that have them, so mostly it's from a philosophy standpoint that I'm looking at it. And I do like the philosophy because I like the way Bo looks at it as, hey, I can differentiate myself from everybody else and say, no, look, I am a good, you know, whatever hero player. Look how well I'm going to be able to utilize these talents to be super effective. And I like that idea. But I do understand the pressure. I do understand the desire to not take them. I don't think I would fault anybody for saying, well, I'm just never going to take the questing talents.
Yeah.
And I think if you're not necessarily confident that you can achieve it, that's the right decision.
Right.
I think those talents are there for people who feel very strongly that they can do it.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like the idea. And maybe I'll warm to it. You know, maybe I'll, like I warmed to heroes in the first place. Didn't like MOBAs before. Now I really like them. Maybe this is the way to do it. We'll find out.
Just wait till they give it to Jaina and then you realize, oh man, I'm good with Jaina. Mm-hmm. I'm getting this. Now I'm an even better Jaina.
Yep.
Now I'm icing fools.
Even though literally. They're just, even though they even say in their own words, they're just testing the waters with these. Do you guys see? Do you think every hero will end up with some kind of questing, early questing talent?
I think they definitely are. I think this is something that separates. It's a space where it's not just about picking the right talent and build in order to be superior to your opponents, but it's also putting your money where your mouth is on talents that require you to not only be good at team fighting, but to maybe prioritize other stuff.
It does feel like a next level thing.
Yeah, I think at most the split ends up being 60-40 in favor of 60 having questing talents. Mm. I don't think it ever goes full 100%.
They're gonna be some players like, well, maybe I'll change, but some players like me who just straight up don't ever want to do it, and they'll just take whatever. I probably agree with that. If it's not 60-40, there is at least some heroes that won't have this focus, probably.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the dividing line becomes any hero that's considered easy to medium difficulty in their description doesn't have it.
Yeah.
And any character that is above that is going to have it. I could see that being a divide. That might already be proven false, but
Carl Jim will never get it because that guy's trait is his level one talents too. There's those niche cases as well.
Sure. Yeah. I'd love his. More of those would be fine. I like that. Heroes of the Storm Spring Championships. They've been going on. We don't care anymore because the Americans are dumb. They're out.
Yep.
No, they're fine. It's still good. I watched a bunch of this over the weekend and more than I thought I was going to have time for, actually, which was a good time. I watched the early goings in Seoul when the audio issues were almost unbearable and I wanted to put a screwdriver through my head. And then later it got better, and it got better as the weekend went on. And I think the casting was good. The production value on these Korean tournaments is insane. It's off the charts as far as like the crap they do on stage. They're really into it, man. Like WrestleMania level, like hype on those stages.
I can confirm because I watched WrestleMania last night.
Yeah,
it is on par.
Everybody I talked to who went to WrestleMania hated it. They hated it, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe don't go to a thing where you have to fly there and wait in a line for 4.5 hours. Maybe not that. Maybe don't do that.
It's the plight of wrestling fans. Yeah. Wrestling fans destined to always be let down in some way.
Yeah, always, right? It's just the way it is. But
I want to say the funny highlight of the thing, which is probably actually not all that unusual, but, you know, Mike Morheim was there, and I think towards the finals they said, hey, it's Mike Morheim. Here's this guy. And then they had the mayor of Seoul.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like, what's the mayor doing there? It's just like, I get that video games are like, it was cool, but also like my North American brain was like, huh?
Yeah.
It'd be like the, you know, and here's the dorm, the mayor of Washington shows up and be like, and wants some camera time or something. Like, it's just,
it's such a different focus over there.
I was like, it wasn't like the Michael Johnson or something, like, here's the esports pro K bomber or whoever.
Sure. But
who's in attendance. Let's do an interview. That's the mayor.
But if you're the mayor, if you're the mayor of any major city and Michael Jordan's in town with the Bulls in 1992 or whatever, you're definitely going to go out and meet that guy and have a little moment, you know, like that's all it is. It's just that we are just so much slower.
That shows you why the North American teams aren't in there. you have your competition, North America. No mayor's showing up for that thing. Right. I'll eat my hat.
Right.
No mayoral support. But we'll know we've made it when Bill Murray shows up.
That's right. Mayoral support, gubernatorial support, or Murray support. You decide which one you'd rather.
Either one, and then we've done it.
I love the word gubernatorial, by the way.
It's pretty good.
Gubernatorial. Anyway.
Those are hard to get out of my nose.
The matches are crazy. The tactics being used are insane. It makes the dorm stuff look like kids are playing. Literally, I guess they are. Well, they're all about the same age, whatever. But it's just such a different level. And I learned some things. I came away going, man, we're screwed. The Asian teams are just, that's it. We're going to dominate this one now. It's time to dominate Heroes. It's big enough now. Been out a couple years. Time for Asia to swoop in and take it away. It's fine. Yep.
I thought they stepped it up another notch with the production.
Yeah.
And I thought that I thought it was really fun to watch and exciting. I have one criticism of the thing, and I think this is not about the production or about the tournament, but you feel like at the very high levels, it's really about the five-man team fight at all points in the game. Mm-hmm. And I find that's bad for viewers. It's fun when you're playing, but I find that there's very little time where personal skill stands out when 10 people are shooting off every ability. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of those skirmish moments where one player is outsmarting another player, except when it comes to like weird escapes where they lose three guys, they're trying to chase down the fourth guy, and the fourth guy does this incredible, I was thinking of like, I think it was ETC on MVP Black in the finals, just like completely outsmarted the Sonya by running her all over the map until he could get away safely. Like that stuff is really cool and really enticing from a dramatic viewpoint, but there's not enough of it for like other things, like just 1v1 skirmishes or things like that. Usually people are like, oh crap, there's a guy over there, better wait for my other four guys, and a lot of 5v5, which is good. But I feel like there's a bit of the individual skill is not jumping out as much on the competitive viewership. And it's something I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, so that would be about it. I'd like to see more teams also with names like Edward Gaming. That would be great.
Bob Video Gaming.
The Bob Ross video thing, or the fan club thing, at least had, you know, it had some reference. But this is just some rich dude in China, some billionaire who's the son of, I don't know, Foxconn people or something. I don't know what the deal was. There's some big story about it. And his name is Edward. So he's Team Edward.
I'm Team Jacob.
Okay.
Team Jacob Gaming.
The fact that it's just Edward Gaming. It's just like, could you be a little more generic, please, with the name of your team?
Well, Scott, when you're in charge of Scott Gaming, you're going to just look back and you're going to say, well, it had to start somewhere.
See, the American teams are just like Cloud9 and, you know, rah, it's like it's got, there's something... I don't know.
Tempo Store.
But in Japan, it's like TDK and Edward.
Edward.
But they're killing it, so what do I know? All right, let's talk about Tracer real quick. The in-development video was released, and this was during the tournament that they showed this, I guess, on stage. They had like a cosplayer up there. Looked just like her. It was weird. She had a bigger head, though. Anyway, that's me being too detailed about what I saw. Anyway, they have the release date for her. She's here in a couple of weeks if you pre-ordered the game, and then I guess we'll see it. It's just like Artanis, the same deal, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is she out a week before for people that pre-ordered?
It is the 19th for pre-order.
Yeah.
And it is, I want to say the 26th because that's the Tuesday, but for some reason I didn't think it was the 26th. For some reason I thought it was the 24th. But we're going to say the 26th because that's a Tuesday and that makes more sense.
Yeah, it does to me too. So anyway, she's coming. She's a lower res looking version of her from Overwatch.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
John and I were talking about that the other night. It's a strange thing to see that actually for the first time really, because in every other case you're like, whoa, look at this rad model of this otherwise low poly thing you've seen in WoW, or look how cool and much more detailed Li Ming looks than her 2012 Diablo 3 counterpart or whatever. But this was a case of total down-res in this engine, which is a weird thing. Didn't expect it. I don't know why.
And it's fine. She still looks good. That's not to say that she looks bad. I honestly think the biggest problem is that they have made the characters in Overwatch emote and animate so well that when you see her saying cheers love and her face isn't even moving at all, it's just completely still, you're just like, well, something's gone wrong.
Here, you guys want to do something fun? I did this the other night, totally worth doing if you got a few minutes. Go back and look at the release gameplay video footage of Overwatch from 2014 BlizzCon, where they showed actual gameplay, not the pre-rendered story video intro thing that they showed on stage, but actual gameplay in the game. You think, your memory is that, oh, it's Overwatch like we're playing now. It is some stiff-ass, mannequin-looking, janky janker janks in 2014. It's weird to go back and look at that stuff, and it's just because the latest version is so damn polished. I should have played this for this. But anyway, you should go watch it, everyone. Just go look at that. Just look it up like an old gameplay video on the Play Overwatch YouTube channel, and you'll just be like, whoa, things have changed since then. Anyway, speaks to their polish, I suppose.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything we like from all the recent changes? How about I like playing Tychus? That's the thing I like.
Yeah, that's good.
He's really
Tychus
fun.
Tychus was updated. Yeah. I think... I think there's a few, there's some people that go immediately to Hotslogs and is like, is this hero broken? And they're like, no, great, won't play. You don't see Tychus and KT a ton. But actually, Tychus is really good. I had a Hero League match with him where I got 120k hero damage. Oh my gosh. And I was only out damaged by the Gazlo who did 140k.
What?
Those, yeah. It was a real, real show. Real,
good Lord, man.
Yeah, what happened with the Gazlo? Why? I know so he got a lot of changes.
I last picked the Tychus because they had like two tanks, and I'm like, sweet, giant killer. And they had an Illidan. I'm like, this is going to be perfect. And for the most part, it worked well, but their Gazlo was on fire. So it was just funny to see, like, I don't know, these two middling heroes being topping out, trying to carry each other's team. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But no, they're good. I just think what they wanted to do was put Tychus in a position to be a counter pick. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be the kind of thing you're first picking. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be that. He's the kind of thing, if you're playing in more competitive, that he's an answer to a certain type of strategy. So if you leverage him correctly, that's what he's doing for you.
Yeah, he's good. John, anything jump out at you from the changes?
I think the thing I've been enjoying the most is the Sylvanas changes. Her kit, I don't want to say is more fun necessarily, but she still feels very solid and she feels very different. And I'm picking different talents than I used to. And it's also changing the way I play with her. So in that regard, I think it's good. Whether or not that has translated to a more fun hero for me, I'm still a little on the fence about. But I'm picking up this Windrunner talent that lets me, you know, hold down my Q, fire all my withering arrows, do my Banshee wave, teleport, it reloads my entire quiver of those, fire all of those again, and for 5 seconds after using my Banshee wave, I get to use it again for free, which then refills the quiver again and lets me fire all 5 times again. And so I've done some really amazing chase down kills with her where it's just haunting wave after haunting wave, and you've got these big tanky characters that shouldn't be afraid of Sylvanas that are now running as fast as they can.
You're haunting wave forwarding now. Remember when back in the day when save your haunting wave for getting away? Now you're just like, I'm playing this character like Diablo now.
Yeah now and, I get to play it aggressively, and that, as we know, is the best. That's the best way to play. And oh my gosh, her mind control ability is fun. And as you all have seen, I will use it every chance I get.
Liberally. Yeah, it's fantastic. I think you should use it every chance you get. And when you've got the upgrade to the speed where the person is running into the madness, it's insane.
It actually caused us a problem the other night because I ran them out of the range for everybody's attacks because they booked it so fast. It's very hard to rein that in when you've got that fast control of a character. Yeah. To say, okay, I'm going to run them this far and then stop them, and not just be like, I'm sending you to the other side of the map. Woo!
Yeah, it's super fun to watch, though. And you hear her singing, and you're like, okay, everyone watch this. There's like a show going on over by John. Okay, a reminder before we do some quick fun in core concepts today. Tomorrow night, we are having some ARAM madness on the Experience Points stream. What is that, you say, because you've never seen it? Well, it's a little stream we do weekly. It's recently moved to Tuesday nights, and we play a lot of mostly Blizzard games, a lot of heroes, and tomorrow it's like heroes all the time. And we're going to play some more stuff with the Joss Ladies Knights ladies. We'll be the lady men. They'll be the, what were they? Just the lady ladies. And
they're the ladies and we're the man ladies.
Man ladies, right.
Although we're going to divide it up a little bit. So some of the ladies might become man ladies and some of the man ladies might become full blown ladies.
It's man lady and lady co-ed.
Yes. And I'm not sure how we're all segmenting it out, but part of this tomorrow night will be a bunch of ARAM matches in Lost Cavern with listeners. So if you want to be there, be in the game, join the Frog Pants chat. That'll help you know when things are going down and what's happening. That's where we'll be putting links and stuff. And you too could be in there. So make sure you /join Frog Pants to see the link. And if you wanna play, come play. Join some games and have some fun. Even if you're not playing, even if the game's installed, you've never even touched it, it's free to play. You can get a character and come in and have a good time with us. So there's that. There's this then now. Core Concepts, where we help you with concepts around the game to help you become a better player of the game and helps approach those who maybe are new to this sort of stuff. Let's talk about A Clear Mind. The freaking Zenyatta, Borath.
The one with the iris.
We just got Bo's like troll name figured out for them.
Yeah, Gorath, maybe more like Borath.
Wow.
My wife. Anyway, Gorath. He's from Canada and has the most zen attitude of all of us. He's like, just play what you want, man. And when we're trying hard, we're trying hard. But when it's just for fun, Bo will be the first guy to tell you to play what you want, have a good time, and good luck, have fun. GFHF, right? GFHF. Or GL. Good fun, have fun.
Weird Al Yankovic was a good movie.
Can't get anything straight tonight.
GHF, yeah.
Anyway, I like this. Let's start with keep solo queue expectations realistic in Quick Match and Hero League. Disconnect feelings from self-worth and validation from results provided by the game environment. Man, this is some Zen shit. It's like you got a little coin on your head and you're a big fat gold guy sitting in a temple somewhere. Tell me more about this. Like, why is that important about keeping those realistic expectations in those modes?
Well, I think, I think sometimes people behave like their ranked game is the most important thing in the earth or in the planet, or their quick match games. Like, guys, we got to go here. We got to get the camp. You guys suck. Come on, dude. And it's like, whoa, dude, you queued up. You're playing a character. Everyone, who knows, they might have come home from work and they're just logging in to do whatever. Like, your expectations around people that you are paired up with randomly needs to be in check. And I think that if you have such a bad day that you have to abuse people or abuse yourself or just feel negative about playing the game, that's a real problem. That's not what you're playing the game for. And it's perfectly understandable to want to log into the game and try your best. But the fact is, in Quick Match and Hero League, you're getting paired up with people from God knows what, where they're coming from when they log into the game. So when you connect your feelings of self-worth and validation to completely random elements, it's probably going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. It's another thing if you have five people who you're grouping together and you've agreed on certain conditions, you're going to try hard, you're going to do things. That's a different sort of, I think, mentality than when you're playing in any other mode. And the vast majority of us at some point or another are solo queuing or duo queuing and playing with people on your team that are who knows where they're coming from and who knows who you're playing against. They may be sometimes you get stomped, not because anyone on your team sucked, but because they were just really good and really prepared for that quick match game.
Imagine showing up at a park and there's like a pickup basketball game going. And you're there alone. You were just going to shoot hoop. But when you get there, there's four other guys and you're like, or, you know, five other guys and you can do a little 3-on-3 and you get there and you don't know any of them and they don't know you and they don't know each other. Now imagine you having all kinds of high expectations for what everyone should be doing any second of that game and yelling in their faces about what they're doing wrong. You'd never do that. Like, that is not a way you would play. You would understand the environment and go, you know what? This is obviously a pickup game. Everyone's just here to have fun. Let's have a good time, get some exercise, go home. That's the expectation. And you just forget when you're online to remember that everyone's like that. And rather than, you know, in a basketball court, you can see that everyone's like that. But because you're anonymous, you sometimes forget that. So quit doing that. Be nice to everybody. And
it's healthy for you. This is not be nicer to other players. Mm-hmm. It's actually just be nicer to yourself.
Yeah.
Be nicer to yourself, because you may feel good like abusing other people, but you're really just costing yourself.
Yep.
So it's for you. And if you want a way to improve while doing these things, just set your own personal goals. You know, if you're Nova, just try to get as many kills as you can. Screw winning the game.
Yeah.
Just work on getting better at doing your Nova thing or doing. I've played a ton of Dehaka in Quick Match, had great teammates, had people that are not seem new to the game. And I lose those games and it can feel helpless, but I went into Quick Match knowing, hey, I'm just here to have some fun and try and get better with Dehaka. Don't need to win the game in order to feel like I'm having fun and getting better with the character.
Sure, I've seen you almost entirely in Quick Match with him, and every time I talk to you, you're just having a blast.
Oh, he's so fun.
Yeah.
He's so fun.
So listen to this. I was going to play this earlier. This is the music we should be playing for today's segment. Oh. And it's super chill. Nice little massage going on.
Although, can we get a side topic real quick?
Because
we brought up Dehaka.
Yeah.
You mean the sound.
Yeah.
Cue me up.
Go ahead.
All right. So, you know how, like, Zagara has that giant sort of vag thing going on in front of her?
Very delicately put.
Yeah.
Where the... Yeah, sorry. Was that...
No, you're fine. You're good. Right. Keep going.
I thought maybe vag would be less rude than vagina. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh, that's
but
funny.
And Avatar's got the vagina on his face.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dehaka's an animal, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't wear pants. And yeah. So if you notice on his model, where if, see, I'm wondering, do Zerg males, are there males and females? And if there are males, do they have penises and scrotums or whatever, or testes? Like, because there's just a little stubby there that looks like, well, we can't put a penis here. Like, if it was a dog in real life, you'd see his junk probably, right?
Probably.
Penis was a lot of fur. So clearly he's got some junk-shaped thing, but it just looks like a stubby. And they put Nazebo's thing in there sweeping the floor. I figure, I don't know. Anyways, I'm like, maybe this should be more accurate. Maybe it shouldn't. It's just a thought. All right. Thought.
All right.
Hold on. I want to just say that now I'm so happy Bo brought this up, because for the longest time I have felt like an odd social outcast because of my weird fixation with all the hands that all the heroes have.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I was just closely examining the hands.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't looking for Dahaka Dong.
Look, it's like you don't have to look hard for Dahaka Dong. It's right there, like literally staring at you. You kind of notice the stubby. Next time, pick them and you'll see what I mean.
Well, a quick note. I want to make a recommendation to our listeners. Core Concepts is about improving your gameplay. It's about improving your approach to heroes. It's also about warning you that you should not Google image search Dahaka penis. There's some real rough results that have nothing to do with our favorite new hero in Heroes of the Storm.
And it won't improve your play.
No. So. It will not improve anything about your day. I can promise you that. Rule 34, everyone. Rule 34. Wait, 32? Which rule? Which internet rule is it?
73.
Got it.
No, 34.
34,
is
that it?
It right. Will have porn of it.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know what 73 is, but it can't be good.
No, it's rule 76. We're all heroes now. Yep. Let's. We're all heroes now. Here's a. Okay, wait. We have to transition here. This is nice. Okay, next up, we got play the player, not the game. Learn to identify. It's like Laura Walker Cho should be doing all of these today. Learn to identify the tendencies of your opponents and be ruthless in exploiting your opponent's weaknesses.
I like this one.
Okay, so John, why don't you expound on why you like it? Why do you like it?
I like this one because on this very Zen day, this is the one that's all about ruthless aggression. But in a smart and calm way. Mm-hmm. So you're in a lane, and as you're watching your opponents come at you, you notice that the Jaina is always in front of the tank.
Yeah.
Just there she is every time, and maybe you haven't really been able to do anything about it, but you just make a little mental note of it. This Jaina is willing to walk in front of the tank. I am going to keep my eyes on Jaina every team fight because I bet she'll go out of place. And sure enough, there she goes, and you exploit that weakness. She's made a mistake. She's making a consistent mistake, and you are going to punish her for that mistake. Another one, just for another quick example, when you're in that loading screen going in and you're seeing what the teams are and you see you're going up against maybe a group of four people and there's one person on their own. Now, odds are probably pretty good that that one person on their own is at a higher MMR than the people that are grouped. But that doesn't mean they're a great player. It also means they're not going to be able to communicate with your other players. So you see this solo character running around the map. You know, if you jump on them, the only people that are going to find out in that moment are people that are closely paying attention to the map, because that player can't call out for help. That's another way to take a weakness that they have no control over, a lack of communication, and be able to exploit it for your own team.
Wow.
So you're peering into their soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can peer into players' souls by watching what they do on the map like that.
Like
John just described.
I like it. By the way, one of these real quick. This just in, the guy that was leveling to 100 in World of Warcraft using nothing but a dance pad.
Yeah.
Achieved level 100.
So, nice.
Yep, he got it. Well done.
Congrats, man.
Well done, guy with too much time on his hands.
You did it.
Yeah, you did it. You had more time than I do ever to do anything.
Dude, wouldn't that guy be so happy if Blizzard decided to turn its game perfecting attention onto the dance gaming genre?
The dance controller input method, sure.
He'd probably quit. He'd be like,
Dancers of the Storm.
I would, you know what I'd watch? A Lost Cavern dance pad controlled match where everyone.
Yes. That should be the new standard in tournaments. It should be dance controlled Heroes of the Storm games.
Oh, my Lord.
There's something here. There's something here.
There is something here. Cloud9 might win that. Okay, back to Zen. Okay. Here we go. Up next, we have casual modes. Let's talk about in casual modes. Do what is fun and experiment. In competitive mode, show sportsmanship by trying your best and make decisions for the good of all. Doesn't mean you need to do everything by consensus and solo queue. So this by first glance, you might go, oh, well, doesn't this conflict with keeping solo queue expectations realistic? I think it still goes along with this. Like,
well, people will tell you, hey, why'd you pick Pyroblast? Well, screw you. I'm playing. I think Pyroblast is the right decision here, and it's my choice to make. Mm-hmm. So when someone makes their decision, you know, you can ask them to do something, and if they don't want to do it, then you have to be respectful because that's their decision.
Right.
It's not a national issue in your game.
Yeah.
So.
Even if you really deep down think it's a huge error, it's not your call, man.
You erode your morale when you keep picking an argument about someone's decision, and you don't like it when people do it to you.
Identify when you're being rotty, R-O-T-T-Y. Rot equals results-oriented thinking. Decision which has a 1 in 10 outcome of succeeding, even when you manage to bump it to a 2 in 10 chance with your awesome play doesn't mean you may be making a long-term mistake. So yeah, to make that simple, don't...
You take triple tap in a game and you get kind of kills. You team wipe them 3 times. It's the best game ever. Doesn't mean triple tap is the best pick, the most positive EV pick. So if you're being analytical about your decision making and want to do the best, the awesome moments you have in the game, which sometimes validate your bad decisions, you have to recognize that you're basing your decision on the feeling of a result and not on long term. You know, you forget about the 8 games you lost when you did that, but remember the one awesome one and just blame teammates, for example, for why that didn't work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're thinking about the results and not about the process.
Here's one I think John could address really well. It takes time to be proficient and learn the nuances of one hero. Give it time. I am very impatient this way. If I don't feel it, if I don't feel it right away, I often shelve a character and then come back to him later. I'm doing that with Tychus right now, partly because he got revamped, but this happens all the time. I've said many times how Jaina was the thing I just did not want to play until she clicked, and then suddenly, oh my gosh, I love Jaina. But you seem to do this. You'll get a character and you'll drive him to level 10 or more, and by the time we're there, you're just killing it with whatever that character is.
Yeah, it's Rome wasn't built in a day, and your ability to play a hero effectively isn't going to happen in your first match with them. Mm-hmm. It takes time and a lot of effort to really learn how that all comes together. Talked a lot about Sylvanas this episode, been playing a lot of Sylvanas lately, did videos about Sylvanas this weekend. Sylvanas has been kind of my life. When I first played her, I hated her, and it bummed me out because I bought her without trying her, because I was like, I'm gonna get good at this hero. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it. And then I got in, and she had a weird Q, and it was like, oh, I don't know what that's doing. That's not using mana. It's what? It's shooting arrows. Like, live shooting arrows. I don't get this hero at all. I don't like this hero. I'm going to go play something else. But I didn't do that, and I stuck with her, and now she's one of my favorite heroes in the game, and I couldn't be happier that I gave it time. So that's what you have to do. Find a hero you want to be good at, and play them, and don't let anybody tell you you can't play that hero. Just say, no, you know what? I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna play this hero. I'm in, and learn it, and you will get good at it. Any time invested is gonna get you there.
Yeah, I'm feeling better about Zul for those reasons. Just decided to keep, you know, be consistent and play him a bunch, and not just do 1 or 2 games and feel like I suck. And that helps a lot. Did all right with him the other night.
Consistency really helps too, because it's very easy to forget how much you lose when you switch gears to another hero. And if it's just a hero you only kind of casually go back to every now and then, mm-hmm. you're not going to keep up with it. I felt like for a while there, actually about a year ago, because it was during Heroes of the Pants 1, I was like, man, I'm a real strong Tyrande player, because I had a bunch of real good games with Tyrande. And then I didn't play her for months. And then I picked her up and I was like, no, I can play Tyrande. I'm a real great Tyrande player. I remember that time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I got in. I was like, okay, now what talent does what here? And okay, yeah. I think I know how this works. And I played awfully because I wasn't up on it. I wasn't practiced.
I always yell Rusty when I haven't played a character in a while. I yes. like to yell Rusty. All right, moving on to my favorite. Listen to this one. Oh, this is really nice. It's okay to just admit the other team played better. Respect it. Admire it. Learn from it.
Like a butterfly.
This is something Bo's very good at. This is something I'm moderately good at. This is something John is the shit at. He is terrible at this. He is not. This is not John's strength. He is a competitive.
This hasn't been my category.
No, but it's. I mean, I really see benefit in it. I mean, it definitely.
It's
easier for me to. I mean, it's also just easier to accept a defeat when you look at it logically and go, "All right, they just kind of outplayed us. I mean, we tried really hard. We could do better, but man, they were good. You know, and it's okay."
I think to defend my honor, real quick, before Bo explains it the proper way, I put a very, 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 let's say 90% emphasis on the learn from it side. Mm. And then when I'm in a match where the same mistakes are then made, it's very hard for me to respect and admire the other team when it's like, no, we should have learned from it the last time.
It's a good point. It's a fair point.
That's where I tend to come from, but I'm trying to get better. I think anybody who played recently with me is hopefully seeing an improvement. A clear mind is a mentality. I understand this is the core concepts that I need to pay attention to and focus on a little bit more, and I'm trying.
All that being said,
it's just to undercut your criticisms of your teammates and focus it sometimes on being respectful and admire the other team. Mm. And don't be, oh, my teammates sucked, whether you know them or not, and you know there's mistakes. It's just,
and when you say when you say good luck, have fun, mean it. Like, yeah, actually mean that. Like, hey, everybody, let's hope we all do really well the way we play today, which leads right to our next thing, which is you are not entitled to win any of your matches. Think of that for a minute. Let that settle into your beef. All right. Just let it seep in.
I'm proving that every day.
Winning entitlement. It's a weird thing. Like, if you look at Hotslogs, the goal of the team and the goal of the meta is often, hey, which characters can get to around 50 to 55% win rates? Think about what that actually means. It means that everyone is losing half the time on average. It's like flipping a coin. You may get a nice run of heads, but you're going to get tails sometime because that's the way the averages work. And that's good from a game design standpoint. When you're in those 50s, that's a good sign. So why do you think, Bo, we have this mentality that if we lose, we're just, oh my gosh, I can't believe we freaking lost?
Well, because we're always looking for a reason. Like, we're just looking to explain it. It just can't be like we lost, you know, and I think that's okay. But when it's just the sense of, I think when they come out and say, we're going to try and make you win 50% of the games, our goal is to make heroes win 50% of the games, they are talking from a different perspective. And I feel like everyone thinks they have an opinion on and knows what they're talking about, but most people don't. And the fact is, you're not entitled to win any of them. You have to earn them, especially if you're in a competitive league. All of them are earned. None of them are like, well, the matchmaker gave me a win because my turn is, like, it's an RNG thing. Mm-hmm. When they talk like that, it's like they mean they're not going to pair you up with Cloud9 doing a practice match if you're like level 20 or something like that.
Sure.
Like, you are not entitled to win any of your matches. And your teammates, you're not entitled to them carrying you if you're a jerk.
Yeah, when we say entitled, it's a word that may not be working for some people. We're saying you're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah, if you feel entitled then to win your games, and you also feel entitled to abuse others.
Yeah, so F you is what we're saying. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, or don't say F
you. You'll win more games by not being that way.
Right. What is tilt and how do I avoid it?
What is tilt?
Yeah.
I've never experienced
it. You shake the table and the ball goes in the hole. And I don't know what tilt is. Tell me what tilt is.
Oh, tilt, it's a poker term for when you're, you know, in the case where you're playing, you're betting money on the line. and you're trying to make perfect decisions with incorrect information, you need to have your wits about you. So when you go on tilt is when you start making decisions based on emotion and not based on analysis. And it happens in all games, is when you're emotionally compromised. You lose four games. I know this has happened to me in Hero League, and you're just like, I just need to win one game. And you keep losing because you're not focused on the moment. You're not in your zen place. You're not focused on what's in front of you. You're too focused on getting even or too focused on returning to a feeling that's good. And you make decisions that compound your terrible play rather than play better, which means it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
Go watch some Netflix. Go hang out with your loved ones. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Have ice cream.
Yeah. You've got a whole list of these things. This is great.
Go listen to the some music.
Yeah.
Do anything other than play Heroes.
Go listen to this. Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Get your foot bath out and give yourself a foot bath.
I feel like I need to dock with the mothership when I listen to that.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Rebel Galaxy again. I love that game.
Gosh dang it. I need to play that game so bad.
I really love it. I don't know what it is. Keeps drawing me back. And then I'll get tied up with something else. That game's great. All right. Finally, show virtue and sportsmanship in your social interactions with other players.
Wow. You made it sound like a corporate human resources well-being thing.
It does. If the customer tells you his burger's burnt, give him another one. Like, it's totally that. But this is a good one.
Janice down in HR. Right on that.
We're talking about human decency here. And the idea of that existing in the MOBA space is a little bit unheard of in a lot of circles. There are some real wieners out there. I got in an argument with somebody on Twitter because the reaction of somebody in game was sent to Dustin Browder, and Dustin Browder replied and retweeted it and said, yeah, that was awful. I'm sorry you were treated that way. I noticed somebody else, and there was like, yeah, a guy baited him and then narked on the internet. Yeah, real cool. And I wrote back and said, wait a minute, you're telling me that it was worse for him to report bad behavior like you're encouraged to do in the game. It was worse for him to do that than what this guy said. And what this guy said was freaking vile. We would have the most explicit tag on this podcast ever if I told you what he said. And it was like murderous, the things he was saying. And
it was a death threat.
Yeah, it was a death threat and a bunch of other stuff that was awful.
Yep.
And so this other guy who just wasn't having it with me, he was like, he's a narc. You know, like narcs being a narc is worse than someone who threatens to kill you. I don't understand that. But the point is, that gets lost, and I think there's a bigger opportunity in Heroes of the Storm than there is in games like League and games like Dota 2, where the genie's kind of already out of the bottle. We as community, and I think us as show hosts, and I think others doing their shows and other people doing good work in this community are a lot more focused on trying to create a brighter future for this game and better interactions between players. I really feel like there's a desire to do it, and there's a chance to do it. And also, Blizzard's a company who values that. So, anyway, that's all I want to say.
There are times sometimes when I see two guys going at it, and one guy is getting unfairly picked on, that I'm like, I didn't come to Heroes to participate in this kind of crap. And then I feel like, well, my silence is kind of condoning it. So maybe I should speak up. Like, this is a community thing where it's like, you're not an anonymous person. You chose to play Heroes of the Storm. It's an awesome game, and if you want it to have an awesome community, you need to be part of that awesome community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd encourage people to definitely expose people that threaten to kill one another mm-hmm. over a video game.
Yeah.
Even if it's not serious, it's terrible. Don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Just don't do that, and then also it doesn't help you win games. So at least if you have some butthole tendencies, I don't know, just think about winning games and stop the butthole.
Tighten up that butthole and let it loose. What? There we go. That ends that, because now it's this. Before we get out of here, we do have a quick email. And emails and phone calls come to us on the regular. You can send your own in at core@heroesforyou.com or send us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. I know I've got some backed up. I just need to get to them. They've been piling up all week. McChansey, Mr. Sure. Chansey, not McChansey.
Oh, I liked McChansey.
I did too. So only they only do it every 6 months, but McDonald's really, really stretching. It says this, I don't think you guys have covered it yet, but could you go over what it means to play a warrior in the core concept section? I feel like every time I try to queue as a warrior, I end up playing a lot like I do an assassin. I want to be able to be that shield for my team. A lot of ables in there. But I don't really know what that means. Can you give some pointers on how to be a good warrior? Thanks. So we've done some warrior talk, but we've never really, you know, focused in. And the problem is they all play so differently that where would you even start, Bo?
Well, we did two segments. We did a support segment and an assassin segment back in the day before.
I'm really good at this, apparently. I just clicked tabs, episode 15.
Oh, all right.
There you go. So it's been a little while, but we kind of wanted to do a primer on one show, and it turned into a great many shows because, folks, I don't know how to make concise notes. Newsflash. Yeah. Bo writes inconcise notes. It's unconcise right. notes, not concise notes.
Long paragraphical notes. It's fine.
Which is fine. It's great content we brought to you in Core Concepts, but actually we're closing it out. So what we may likely do is adhere to your request, Mr. Chansey, and get back on the finishing out that our suite of core concepts on the different roles.
Yeah, make this so specific, but maybe we could approach and not to plan it in real time on the show or anything, but maybe like with warriors, it might be a way to approach it by saying, all right, who is our most warrior like in the most basic ways? Like who's the guy with the least amount of nuance and the one that can just peel and zone and do all the things we need a good warrior to do.
Murden and Johanna are the quintessential tanks to me.
I was going
to
say Murden and Johanna.
Yeah. And we both, there's a lot of effectiveness with those two characters in this group. Like all three of us have played those characters or one of the other pretty extensively. Like I love Murden to the point of pretty much calling him my favorite hero in the game. I think that's where I'm at with him. I love playing him. I really do love playing him. And I've played him well past, I think he's 12 or something. He's got every skin you can buy, including that dumb candy one. Like he's great.
And you're definitely a good presence as a tank.
Yeah.
When we play in our five mans and you're tanking, because you'll hit the stuns, like you'll prioritize letting the damage do its work and you're protecting them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just trying to protect them. You're trying to create opportunities for us to start fights. Mm-hmm. You're harassing and getting away. Like, you're doing all the things that a tank is supposed to do on Murden. I think, Mr. Chansey, it depends on if you're playing with the team or not. It's very different when you're playing solo queue, so I don't know what your particular circumstance is. But when you have the benefit of teammates, then the tank role really pops. It pops a little more as you climb the ranks in Hero League, but you have to get maybe 20 or higher to really see that shine. But it can be a real crappy experience. Like, I think tanking is the hardest out of all the roles to do in the game. I know it's the hardest for me. And it goes hugely unappreciated, and it's hugely unfun in solo queue when no one, like, you know, your damage is somewhere. Like, you have no support. You can't do things on your own. You need your team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's what makes it hard, is if you'll never learn to be better if your teammates don't leverage what you're trying to do. Like, right. That's just pointless. So there isn't really a solution for that other than just have fun with it on your own as much as you can.
Look at what heroes you're playing. If you're playing Diablo, odds are you're not going to feel like a very great shield. Mm-hmm. He can be, but you have to play him a very specific way if you're playing that hero to be that. You kind of have to be this weird mobile, I don't know, the strange kind of shield.
You're isolating picks. Like a lot of those ones are like your key thing you're doing is rather than be a peeler is to be like a kill this guy and pick him up and deliver him to your teammates, you know? Mm-hmm.
If you're Sonya, you're not a shield. If you're Artanis, you're kind of just like a stump in the middle of the road. People either get blocked by you or they go around you.
Poor Artanis, man.
But that'll change. So, I mean, that's why we're throwing out Murden and Johanna as thoughts. You can actually, playing those heroes, you can actually kind of get that shield feel. Just keep in mind what your position is. There's a time to chase. There's a time to not chase. And just try to get a feel for what your team is doing. Try not to develop the blinders of I'm just looking at me and the enemies. Try to get a feel for, well, is your team going with you or are you running out there all by yourself like an assassin? It sounds like to me when somebody says, I feel like I keep playing as an assassin when I'm playing warrior, what that says to me is you have a warrior that wants to do something very different from what their group is wanting to do. And if you want to make that transition to be that shield for the team, it's going to mean probably being uncomfortable sometimes because your team isn't going to go where you want to go. Mm-hmm. They're going to make a call that you don't necessarily agree with, but if the whole team's backing away, it's the wrong call for you to then choose to go in without them.
Yeah. Quick note about Mirrodin. He is the best, except for his ultimates are boring, both of them. They're boring. Yeah. They're boring and dumb. Haymaker, dumb. If he gets a rework, it just needs to be that. Everything else is fine. He's fantastic to play otherwise. I love his builds. He's wonderful in every way, except his level 10 ultimate picks are poo. They're poo. Yeah, yeah. They're poo, I'll tell you.
My number one favorite warrior right now, Dahaka. Just throwing it out there. Yeah,
you want to try you are enjoying him, aren't you?
He's my Johanna. He's my Johanna. You know how much John likes Johanna?
Yeah.
That's how much I like
that. But I think John, well, maybe you have feelings for Dahaka in the way that John has feelings for Johanna. Maybe that's what's going on.
Maybe it's a different kind of world.
Maybe that's that lumpy little scrotum sack you were talking about earlier.
You know what? Robots and people can have relationships. It's the future, folks.
That's right. Embrace it. Catch it. That's it for the show. Thank you all for being here. Again, core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. Leave those voicemails at 801-471-0462. We'll play those on an upcoming episode. Heroesforyou.com is the website. Make sure you visit our webpage or our YouTube channel. And we do now have youtube.com/coreheroes, right? Am I saying I'm not saying that out of turn? That's true.
Well, you're kind of saying it incorrectly. It's youtube.com/coreheroes.
Coreheroes. So that's the thing you can go do. There's brand new videos up. In fact, John, real quick, you put one up. A starter video for somebody. What'd you do? I forget now. What'd you do?
Sylvanas.
Oh, Sylvanas, right.
Because she got a rework. We had already done one for Sylvanas, and it was completely out of date now. So I've updated it to include the new version of Sylvanas.
His videos are really good. He also has this fantastic kill with Sylvanas that also includes a John Cena sound clip, so that's good. That means we're with it. We know what the kids are into. we're in it to win it. And Bo's got something up there all the time. I've got some funny ideas coming up. So keep your eye on that. That's over at youtube.com/coreheroes. The website is heroesforyou.com. Join us in the game. /joinfrogpants in the game. Play with us, especially tomorrow night. Again, that's at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. What is that? 9 p.m. your time, Bo?
9 p.m. Eastern, I think.
Yep. Come on in there. Yeah. Let's do some fun ARAM and goof off. It's going to be really good. Core Heroes on Twitter. John_Jagger on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. And Bo is at Bo Schwartz. It's going to do it for us, for me, for John, and for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.